Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With Danny, I'm Grant. You are listening to The Fan. With you until about 6:10 tonight. We wanted to welcome in our Richmond audience. They join us every day from 3 to 6, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM. We appreciate you guys. All over D.C., you're locked into 106.7. You know, you guys mean a lot to us. You're the OGs. And Odyssey makes it possible to listen coast to coast. We get calls. We get people chiming in from all over the country every day on the app. Thanks for making the show part of your day. Right now, on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app today. Visit BetQL.com. The former head coach at Old Dominion, the head coach at ODU when Taylor Heinicke was there. And I like to call him the Heinicke hype man. But Bobby Wilder is with us. And Bobby, I got to tell you, Danny and I were reminiscing today. The first time we ever had you on, you got us thinking Taylor Heinicke's Patrick Mahomes in waiting. And we kind of laughed about it. You know, we rolled our eyes. We're like, okay, he was his college coach. This guy's crazy, whatever. He's played four times since. He's played four really good ball games. And here we are on September 23rd, 2021. It's Taylor Heinicke time in the nation's capital, Bobby.
Yeah, he's not Patrick Mahomes. Don't put words in my mouth. But Patrick Mahomes is not Taylor Heinicke. Let's get that straight right now.
Love it. All you've been is right, coach. All you've ever been is right. If you're 4 for 4, you're in a big old circle, and that's the circle of correctness. So one of the things we're going to kick around today later on the show, and I want to get your take on this. As team, this is with anybody, right? This is with major league hitters. This is with quarterbacks, anybody. The more tape they've got on you, the more information they have, the better crafted their response is going to be. When you see somebody getting a bigger sample, what do you think they're going to try to do, maybe Buffalo or teams beyond, try to do to slow down Taylor Heinicke?
Oh, I absolutely do think that's correct. And, you know, when I was coaching in college, anytime we'd play a team that had a new quarterback, I would tell our defensive staff, you know, you can take the concepts from what they were doing with the previous quarterback, but other than that, throw the tape out. Don't even show the players. You've got to show them just this quarterback you're preparing for now. So what's going to happen now for Taylor is right away Sunday. I guarantee you the Bills will have some sort of a plan to double McLaurin, whether it's a safety corner, whether it's a nickel with a corner, a linebacker, something, particularly on those routes that he's running over the middle. So they're going to have a plan for him. That'll be number one. That'll be the number one thing they do. And then number two is, I think, based on the fact he didn't run a lot in this previous game against the Giants, they'll probably try to blitz him a little bit more and see if that's something that he's going to do, if he's going to follow the coach's instruction of, hey, you've got to stay in the pocket. We don't want you running as much. We don't want you getting hit, that type of thing. So those would be a couple things that I'd look for the Bills to try to do this week, and then Falcons, Saint, and on down the road.
Bobby, I'm coming around on the idea that maybe this is sustainable. that this is something Heinicke can do, that he can play in this league, that he can play winning football. I'm not ready to say it's just going to be this easy or this good all the time. And a lot of that I still hold against him, unfairly maybe. Doesn't get drafted, didn't have offers, went to ODU. How does that happen? Try to explain that to me. Everyone's desperate for a quarterback. We overdraft these guys. Dudes like Christian Ponder are going 12, and EJ Manuel is going 16. How is it possible that this guy might actually be the real deal, really good, several-year starter in the league, and he was out of football taking classes online, sleeping on his sister's couch last year?
Yeah, as you're saying that, you're making a great point about quarterbacks. You know, look at starting this week with the Bills. The next 10 teams they play, right on down to the Cowboys, every one of those quarterbacks Washington plays the next 10 weeks was a first-round draft choice and signed a major contract. So that's what we've been led to believe in the NFL. We've been led to believe that the quarterback has to be a first-round pick. He's got to be 6'3 plus. He's got to be 220. You know, other than when we see Teddy Bridgewater a little bit down the road and Russell Wilson, all the other guys that Washington's going to play against are big guys. They're big physical guys with strong arms. So, you know, that's what we've been led to believe. Now, to answer your question, how do we get to Taylor Heinicke? Well, it's just a bunch of events had to happen, right? You guys did a great job last year documenting what happened throughout the season with COVID and then with Alex's injury. And, you know, they needed somebody that could come in as that quarantine quarterback, and who better than, you know, the guy who's known the system for 7 years. But for him to survive, guys, here's what's got to happen. He's got to continue to do a great job with something that we try to teach him in college, which is hash number sideline. You know, you run to the hash. If you can't get outside the hash, get down. Get to the numbers. If you can't get beyond the numbers, get down. If you can get to the sideline, gain the yardage, get out of bounds. You've got to minimize the hits you take. So that's number one. Number two is what he did over the offseason. I'm not sure if you guys have seen him in person. He added 15 pounds of muscle. This is clearly the best I've ever seen him look, and he's still training really hard. So he got his body right, and he's got to continue to protect himself like he did in the Giants game.
Bobby Wilder with us, longtime college football coach, and he coached Taylor Heinicke at ODU with us here on G&D. Bobby, I certainly do buy the notion that a guy that's not great in practice exists. One of my college teammates would take the worst round of BP in the world, look like he'd never held a bat before, and then go out and hit, you know, four tracers. I mean, I've seen it up close and personal. That was raised about Taylor Heinicke, though. Ron Rivera brought it up, and a couple of people kind of posited that he may not look good in practice, but he's a gamer. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of it is the way we coached him at Old Dominion is I played quarterback, coached it my whole life. I would always tell my quarterbacks, you know, practice is when you learn. So if you're gonna make a risky throw, because if you want to see if you can make the throw, do it in practice. You know, if you can do it in practice, then try it in a game. If if it gets picked off in practice, well, now you know you can't throw that post corner ball from one hash to the opposite sideline versus cover two. You can't get the ball there, so don't try to do it. But I would never punish a quarterback for throwing interceptions in practice or being inaccurate if he was, in fact, trying to work on things to see if he could do it in a game. And that's something that Taylor does. And, you know, it was funny. I was reading some of the stuff this summer online, and I talked to him a couple times, but, you know, a lot of it was about, hey, he's not really practicing that well. And I just kind of laughed at it, and I said, hey, are you doing certain things in practice like you did in college? And he said, yes, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I can do. I'm trying to figure out certain timing on plays with guys. And that's the way he plays in practice. But when the game comes on, he understands in the ebb and flow of the game that a punt is much better than an interception. So, but that's not something he's thinking about, guys, in practice.
And it makes sense. I mean, I think there's a lot of quarterbacks like that, which is why some coaches need to see guys get those opportunity in games. One of the things I keep coming back to, though, is why wouldn't he have gotten a chance to compete? I mean, you are a coach, right? You've been a coach in college. Take me inside that mindset, if you would. He played a great game against Tampa, looked good off the bench against Carolina. This is coming from a skeptical dude who said he could be a good backup, right? He's a, you know, a sixth man in basketball, energizer bunny, comes off the bench, runs around, makes plays, Friday Night Football style. But knowing what we know now, why wouldn't Rivera have just given him a shot to compete with Fitzpatrick? I don't really get that.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for Ron and put words in his mouth, but when I saw that Fitzpatrick had signed, you know, a one-year, $10 million deal, and again, this is the way the NFL operates. It's height, weight, speed, and then it's contracts, it's money, it's first round. What are you? Well, you know, you got a quarterback like Fitzpatrick who's getting paid $10 million. You need to start him. I mean, that's for the credibility of everybody in the organization, for everybody in the front office. How can you sign a guy for $10 million and then you're going to, you know, you're going to play the guy that was taking math classes over him? So I wasn't surprised when he didn't get the start. I knew Ryan would have to play really bad in preseason and Taylor would have to play lights out. And, you know, that didn't happen. They were, if you look at their numbers in preseason, they were fairly even. So that's the NFL, guys. That's the way the NFL works.
Bobby Wilder was the college coach at ODU when Taylor Heinicke was there, had a ton of success with the Monarchs.
Hey, guys, one thing I wanted to comment on it. You know, I've been following the stuff online, reading articles, doing that stuff. But did I read correctly? Did Jay Gruden make a comment that Taylor needed to be more accurate?
I didn't see it.
Okay, yeah, I could have sworn. I was like, no way. Because, I mean, Taylor, and this is part of the problem when you're Old Dominion math classes, you know, six teams in 7 years. He's completing 73.8% of his passes right now, and I'm thinking, how the hell can he be any more accurate?
It's completion percentage wise.
If you're completing in the NFL, guys, if you're completing 3 out of 4 passes, that's incredible, because we're talking about the best defenses in the world, and it's really hard to complete passes in the NFL. Only the elite guys complete 3 out of 4. And I'm not sitting here saying he's going to complete 3 out of 4 for the rest of the season. Don't get me wrong. It's just, every time I've talked to you guys, the number one thing I've always emphasized is he's accurate. He gets the ball where it needs to be. No, he doesn't have a cannon for an arm, but he's accurate. And when I read that comment somewhere, I was like, there's no way Jay Gruden could say he needs to be more accurate. But, you know, he's going to get knocked. He's constantly going to get knocked because of his background. He's not like the next 10 teams we play with a first-round draft choice quarterback and all the accolades in college. So he's just going to have to do it really well, guys. And I'll make this statement, too. He's going to have to do it really well all year. And he's aware of that. He knows that his back's against the wall. When we talked this summer, all his mindset was is, you know, I've got a shot right now. You know, I haven't really had a shot in 7 years, and now I've got one. This was just when he got signed and got the contract. And then when we texted after the Giants game, or I'm sorry, going into the Giants game, his mindset was, now I have a shot to start, so I have to take advantage of this. And I keep going back to the fact, guys, that he doesn't have this long guaranteed contract. Sure, he's making really good money, you know, more money than a lot of us will ever see he's making right now. But he's not Josh Allen. He's not the guy he's playing against this weekend who's making $40 million or Mahomes is making $50 million. He's the guy that has to prove himself every week. So you're talking about a guy whose mentality is, my back is all the way against the wall, and every game's the biggest game of my life. That's his mentality right now.
The only thing I can think of, Bobby, as far as the Jay Gruden comment would be, because the completion percentage, to your point, is terrific. And having watched every throw he's made here, I think accuracy's been far from an issue. But maybe a ball placement thing. Like, if you go back to the Giants game, a lot of balls were high, and they were caught, but they sailed high. Is that a tendency? Is he prefer high over low? Or is that just one game sample? Because there were plenty of passes where guys were going up the ladder to make catches.
Oh, yeah. No, and you're bringing up a good point. And the thing that I texted him this week was, it happened in the first quarter, and this would happen to him sometimes in college if he was too overhyped, too much adrenaline flowing, where his release point, he'd drop his elbow and he wouldn't follow through. I had this thing I've always taught my quarterbacks: after you throw the ball, you take a dollar bill out of your left pocket. So if you just imagine, guys, your right hand, if you're throwing the ball, it comes across your body and goes over to your left pocket, and you take out this imaginary dollar bill. Well, if you go back and watch his throws in the first quarter, he wasn't doing that. He was almost short-arming the ball, and that happens when a quarterback's eyes come up, they're looking at the ball, they're anxious, they want the ball to be completed, and the ball sails on them. The point doesn't come down. So that was a product more of the first quarter than if you look at his throws in the second, third, and fourth quarter, that changed. So I think that as much as anything, guys, had to do with him being really excited for this opportunity.
Coach, my last one for you is this. You mentioned the...
Did you try that, by the way? Did you just take the dollar bill out of your left pocket?
I actually Grant did. I quite literally did. There's no dollar bill in there, but if there was, I would have grabbed it.
But I've coached baseball. The same thing. We tell pitchers the exact same deal, man, when they learn how to throw, step towards the target.
That was like Lincecum back in the day. Remember, his dad used to tell him he wanted him to pick up the dollar bill off the mound.
By his left foot, 100%. So here's the question I have for you. So you mentioned this. This may be my last shot, the pressurized environment. I think Scott Turner made some comments to that effect. I thought we're brilliant and 100% right on, right? Where if you're a first-round Freddie, you get unlimited chances to get things. If you're with his pedigree talking about Heineke's, of course you're going to have a more limited opportunity. How do you balance that with being able to stay healthy and not taking that extra yard by diving for the pylon or diving for that first down, et cetera? There's a balancing act there, right?
There's a balancing act, but the one thing you guys know about Taylor from all the articles is he's a math wizard, so numbers make sense to him. And what I always taught him in college was, look, you're going to have 14 to 16 drives in a game, and if you can score on four or five of those drives, let's say just for this conversation, Washington has 15 drives against Buffalo, okay? Score on five of them. Get three touchdowns, two field goals. That's 27 points. That's enough to win 67% of your games in the NFL if you can score 27 points. So when he does the math in his head, that's one out of every three drives, guys. And that's the point I made earlier about Taylor understands that a punt isn't a bad thing. He understands that he had this sit the other night. It was a third and 25, and he hit the back out of the backfield and got 10 yards. Well, what we taught him in college was he just added 10 yards to the punt. So those numbers make sense to him. Now that punt wasn't 45 yards, it was 55 yards, and the Giants had to go 80 yards instead of 70. So that math makes sense to him, where if I can score one out of three drives and we can get to, you know, the number they got to the other night, 30 points, we can win the game. So that's how I've always felt as a quarterback coach, that's how you keep your quarterback from putting too much pressure on themselves where they think I have to score every drive. You don't have to score every drive. Sure, you'd like to, but you don't have to. If you can score one out of every three drives, you got a really good shot to win the game, especially in the NFL.
Taylor Heineke and the Washington offense going up against the number two defense in the NFL through 2 weeks. It's gotten after quarterbacks. This is going to be his biggest test yet. Best defense he's played, at least in terms of when he's playing them and how well they're playing. And he's on the road for the first time as well. I mean, Coach, any thoughts on any of that? Feel free to hit on. My last thing as well, though, would be, what's your confidence level that if he stays healthy, he can sustain this level of play? I mean, if he plays like he did against the Giants, this is his job now moving forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I still stand on what I told you guys this summer when I talked to you, that if he could be up over 70% completion and he could get his touchdown to interception ratio somewhere in that 3-to-1 category, you know, so he gets to like 24-8, something like that on the year, that he could lead them to double digit wins if he had the opportunity. And obviously a lot of other things got to happen. You guys know this. You got 11 guys out on the field. You got to have a run game. You got to have protection. Your defense has got to play well. So I'm not just saying it would be Taylor. Please don't get me wrong. But if he can do those things, he'll put Washington in a position to be able to win. And here's the other thing, guys, that obviously people just don't know him that well yet, but in college, he played in 47 games for us in college. In 12 games, he led us to a win when we were down with less than 2 minutes to go. So one out of every four games in college, he had to win it for us at the end. He had to lead his team down the field, and so he's comfortable with that, and that's why the other night in the Giants game, after he threw the pick and he was really down on himself, he came back in. I had the same feeling with him on the field that I did when we were in college, that if we called it right for him, if we managed the timeouts right, he would figure out a way to get the necessary yardage for us to either score a touchdown or kick a field goal. So I think that'll benefit him, guys, and that will also benefit Washington, that even though it was Old Dominion, it wasn't, it wasn't Florida State or Miami or Alabama, Clemson, one of those big name schools. It was Old Dominion. He won games late, and you see that poise that he has. So he's comfortable in those situations. You guys know the NFL is a field goal league in most games. So it's going to put him in a really good spot to help Washington win games moving forward, especially if they're close games. He'll perform well in those situations.
Man, who was that coach of that team that kept getting all those deficits? What was going on there? Who was that guy?
That's why I'm not the head coach anymore.
Bobby, you're the best, man. Always love having you on, brother. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. Have a great day.
Be well. Coach Bobby Wilder was the head man at ODU when Taylor Heinicke was there. He has been right every step of the way so far.
Yep.
Taylor Heinicke could start struggling.
Not some of them, by the way, every single time.
He's called his shot, and we'll keep getting him on if he keeps being right. He's putting them up and picking them up and putting them down. By the way, I just found the story. It's on our site, as a matter of fact, odyssey.com. Gruden, Heinicke's accuracy is top concern, predicts Fitzpatrick will start again in 2021. So throw that into a search if you want to give that a look. Those are the thoughts of the former head football coach here, Jay Gruden. Great to have Bobby Wilder back on. Yeah, if he shines in Buffalo and keeps rolling, you'll hear the voice of Bobby Wilder on Grant and Danny again in a few weeks, I am sure. Next, let's give you a Washington football team spotlight on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bill Barnwell, ESPN NFL writer, ranked all of the 0-2 teams in football. We could take a look at that coming up this segment in just a few minutes. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Before we get to that, though, little Washington football team spotlight as we get ready for week three. They've got the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Danny, why don't you start us off?
Spotlight on Sam Cosmi. Another difficult challenge here going into week number three. We've already seen
him. He's been tested, hasn't he?
He has been. Nothing but good pass rushers. A.J. Epenesa hasn't had a ton of sacks just yet, but he's harassed the quarterback. He's been pretty good. He's been causing some problems for opponents. And Greg Rousseau, who is a draft pick. Now, what's weird is this is a defensive draft pick that's actually had an impact on a football team. It's very strange. I didn't know that was kind of allowed, but Rousseau's got himself a couple sacks. So, hands full once again for Sam Cosmi.
Spotlight William Jackson III, really liked how he played in game one. Gave him a game ball, matter of fact, here on G&D. Had a big pick in the red zone. Game two, I thought, was a real struggle. Had a pass interference penalty. Ultimately saved them points, but it was a play where, ideally, you just make the play without a penalty flag. Doesn't allow a drive to continue. Got beat for a touchdown, then was part of a miscommunication for another touchdown. Stephon Diggs is the best wide receiver they played early this season, probably.
Yeah.
All apologies to Keenan Allen, who I love. He's comparable to Diggs, but Diggs led the league in receptions last year, is an elite playmaker. We know that. We've seen it in this area since he was in our backyard at the University of Maryland. I think it's a lot of Diggs for William Jackson in that matchup. And if it's Benjamin St. Juste on the outside, then he's going to be tested as well as a young rookie who got exposed in week one. Thought it was better for him in week two. Didn't get targeted as much. But I'll say spotlight William Jackson. That Diggs matchup is going to be critical.
Spotlight Chase Young. He's not bad. Hadn't been bad at all. But he hasn't been what's expected. What's expected is excellence. What's expected is dominance. What's expected is to take over games the way some of the best defensive players in this league have done. He has not done that yet. He's got another opportunity here against an offense that hasn't quite clicked yet. I imagine they'll move him around as they have each of the first couple weeks. A lot of Deion Dawkins, a lot of Darrell Williams, I think was a free agent that was acquired from Carolina. These aren't world-beating left tackles and right tackles, respectively. Have an impact. Hit Josh Allen. That's what's expected, and that's probably what's needed. I would say you don't win this game without a huge, massive, game-changing play on defense, be it pick six, sack, fumble, something crazy happening to equal the odds here a little bit.
Spotlight Terry McLaurin coming off of a career-high 11 catches, going for a bill and a touchdown in primetime on Thursday Night Football against the Giants. You think the Bills are going to pay him a little bit of attention? We just talked to Bobby Wilder, the former coach at ODU, and Taylor Heinicke was there, and he said in his convo, his text with Heinicke, it sounds like they're preparing for a lot of extra looks at McLaurin. Bracketed coverage, maybe some double teams. Why wouldn't they? That guy's going to be fed, and defenses know that, so you try to take him out of the equation. He's the most dynamic player in the passing game for Washington. So McLaurin gets Tre'Davious White this weekend. We had McLaurin on the show Monday. He said he thought Trey White's going to travel with him a little bit. That's normally what happens based on McLaurin's film study. He may not be the best corner in the league. If you want to say it's Jalen Ramsey, that's fine. A couple other guys in the combo. He's in the top two or three. He's on the podium. This is one of the great cornerbacks in football. Huge test for Terry McLaurin as he continues to cement himself as one of the best wide receivers in football.
Spotlight Jamin Davis. Let's play a quick game, you and me. Let's play good sign, bad sign. Good sign or bad sign that a middle linebacker is 10th on the team in tackles through 2 weeks? Good sign or bad sign?
I'm going to go bad.
It's a bad sign. Bad sign. Now's another chance. If you slow this run game down, Moss, Singletary, and company. Singletary's the better of the runner, though Moss has the two touchdowns. But if you are able to slow them and make them more one-dimensional, you let some of these pass rushers eat, you let some of the packages, that 5-1-5 that we saw from Jack Del Rio and company this past weekend. We'll get a few more pass rushers in the ballgame. If you're good on early downs, it's going to set this defense up for more opportunities to make some plays.
Spotlight Antonio Gibson. 20 carries week one against the Chargers, just 13 week two against the Giants. He's got 159 yards and 4.8 yards a pop through two games this season. He's run very effectively. But he showed up on the injury report again. He's playing a little banged up. Curious how they use him, both in the running game and in the passing game. We saw more J.D. McKissic in week two against New York than we had in week one against L.A. and all of the preseason. I'm curious what the role is for McKissic. Is it going to look like 2020, where he was heavily utilized and was the guy on third downs and as a pass catcher and they lined him up at receiver? Because that's what it was against the Giants. Maybe that's the plan. I thought it would be a little bit more of Gibson. A lot of people are frustrated that McKissic is as involved as he is. I'm not one of those people. I think he's fantastic in that role, and I like effectiveness, and he's always been effective. So I'm not going to spend 3 seconds worrying about why isn't Gibson getting that look or that touch. But I'm more interested just, I guess, in game script stuff like, are they going to be able to feed him the football? Will he be closer to that 20 carries he was in week one? Or down around 13 like he was in week two. But spotlight on him. I love the way he's run the football early this season.
Spotlight on Kendall Fuller. I think Kendall Fuller is a really good player. I don't think Kendall Fuller has played great just yet, right? I think now is an excellent chance, whether he's in the slot, which you'll see in some nickel situations. Think Cole Beasley, who has the second most receptions, I believe, on the Bills. He can be effective, especially working underneath. Nice outlet for Josh Allen and company. You'll see him on the outside as well, matched up with Diggs here and there. He's going to have to start to play a little bit better. And there are a couple of guys on this defense that you could say about. And I think it starts right there with dudes that are established. Kendall Fuller is bona fide. Kendall Fuller is an established NFL football player that is good. He is not a detriment. He hasn't been himself through a couple games. He's tackled well. He's been physical. Has a sack, came Greg Williams style on a corner blitz there for a tackle in the backfield. But he needs to be much better in coverage than he's been. And I think he will be starting this week.
Look at me. What am I wearing today? Do you see wire-framed glasses? Do you see a beanie on my head tilted kind of off to the side?
I don't see a side beanie. I see your glasses on, though.
Do you see a vintage dress or a floral skirt or anything like that? Do I look like a hipster to you in any way?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I'm about to look like a hipster to you, my guy. Spotlight DeAndre Carter. DeAndre Carter.
Yep. There you go.
Week one against the Chargers, 31-yard kick return. Week two against the Giants, 27-yard kick return. He's been good so far. Look at the punt return game. Week one against the Chargers at a 14-yard punt return. Week two didn't get a chance to do anything. He looks more explosive and competent and apt at returning kicks and punts than anyone they've had here in a bunch of years. Maybe this is the week. I don't need you to break one for 6 points, but I'd like you to rip something off. Maybe it's a kick return across the 40. Maybe it's a punt return across midfield for 35 yards. It sets Heinicke and the offense up first and 10 from the strike zone area. I think this guy can actually return in a way that we haven't really had a guy in a while. So one of these weeks, it's going to happen where he makes a game-changing play. I'll call my shot. Maybe it's this weekend in Orchard Park.
Orchard Park.
Against the Buffalo Bills.
Spotlight Dustin Hopkins. Officially 6 out of 7 on field goals. 4 out of 4 on extra points. The one miss was in excess of 50 yards. Unofficially, right? You know about the miss and the penalty that may or may not have been. I don't know. You feel good? If it's a one-score game, if it comes down to a Dustin Hopkins kick to win it, you feel confident? Maybe if the Bills aren't offsides, will it go through? But to this point, he has made the shorties, both inside of 40 yards. He's made all four from in between 40 and 49. That, to me, is what I care about, by the way, because those usually come from drives. Drives need to end in points when they're not three and outs, right? If you get some sustained success, a couple first downs here and there, and then you need points on those drives. Those are the ones that I care about, and he officially is 6 for 6 inside of 50 yards.
That is your Washington football team spotlight. They are 1-1. They are headed to Buffalo, New York. Don't eat at Anchor Bar, boys. I don't know if they're allowed to go out or anything. I don't know how that works on the road. I think the vaccinated players can leave and go out to dinner. I don't know if anybody else can. I'm not sure what the play is there. But don't do that. That's what everybody does. And while the wings at Anchor Bar are great,
they invented it.
We owe them. We do. There are just other places that might be a little bit less tourist trappy where you can go get yourself some buffalo wings. But eat some buffalo wings. Don't worry about the game tomorrow. I want you to eat your buffalo wings. That's important. Bill Barnwell wrote this piece. I told you I wanted to get to this before we get to our double play next. He ranked the top, all 7 teams that are 0-2, 1-7. Buffalo Bills, not on that list because they're 1-1. They won, and Washington's got to deal with them. Would be nice if you got to play one of these 0-2 teams, yeah? So here are your 0-2 teams in football. Indianapolis Colts, he says, are the best 0-2 team in the land. They're coming off of a loss. They lost Seattle week one, and then last week had a chance against the Rams, and they couldn't fit. I should say it was the Titans in week one, and then it was the Rams last week. Second best 0-2 team, the Vikings. References how they should have won in week one. Cook fumbled in field goal range. They should have won in week two. Kicker missed a 37-yard field goal.
Agree with both those.
Giants are next on the list. 6% chance to make the playoffs. I think that has something to do with the division, probably. They were in their game against Washington, not against Denver. It's got the Lions 4th of the 0-2 teams, the Falcons 5th, and then the 2 worst teams without a win. He says the Jaguars are 6th, and believe it or not, he's got a team worse than them. The Jets, the worst team in football right now, in Bill Barnwell's opinion. When you hear that, anything you'd pick nits with right off the bat?
I would just flip the last two. I think Jacksonville is by far worse. I think the Jets have been competitive, at least in their first game they were. They're outclassed. I mean, they're not close to being any good. But I'd agree with those, the top two. So the Colts dropped their game one really close. Game two, they gave the Rams all they possibly could. Not having Wentz may knock them down a little bit.
And by the way, I corrected myself into an incorrect.
Yeah, you were right first.
Seahawks 28-16. The Titans and the Cardinals was the game I was thinking of.
Yeah, they've been frisking both games. They're well built, except at quarterback, where they're kind of a disaster, especially at this point.
Titans is a winnable game, I would say, for the Colts this weekend. They do have the Dolphins next week. So worst case scenario, I think they probably are 1-3 after next week. The team that is probably pretty good despite its record, and it won't matter. The Vikings are 0-2. Have you seen their schedule coming up? It's brutal. Like, they just lost the 2 games they were supposed to win. So they play the Seahawks this weekend. They could beat them, but that's a tough game. The Browns next weekend. The Lions will be the first time they're a favorite to win. And then they've got the Cowboys, the Ravens, the Chargers, the Packers, the 49ers.
Ooh.
They've done some damage.
A little bit of a gauntlet, you're right.
To themselves early this season.
They need to steal one somewhere.
If one of those teams makes the playoffs after an 0-2 start, who would you say it is?
I'm trying to think of division too, as it matters. I'd probably say the Colts because I don't think anybody's running away with the AFC South.
I might go with the Giants because of the division thing. Like, they're a Dak Prescott
crazy.
Injury
that's
away
not crazy.
From being even with
they're
everybody
not, they're
else.
Not good, but nobody's saying they are.
Yeah.
That's not a terrible take.
Double play is next. For my double play, I've tracked down Luke Russert, and we're going to get to the bottom of how to break a table, Bills Mafia style, so that we can have Ryan jump through a table live on the air tomorrow and Grant and Danny. Danny's got a double play as well. It's coming your way next right here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Netflix show review time for old Randy Duhier. Grant, there has never been a show in the history of Netflix that is less for you than the show I'm about to review. If you spend hundreds and hundreds of hours watching television and you get to the end of Netflix, you should just go to a different service and not watch this show. For the rest of us who are okay with fantasy, okay with some sci-fi, this one's fine. Shadow and Bone is the name of the show. It's an unfortunate name. It's a poorly named television program, but it's based on a book of the same name. You get your sort of young adult fiction girl, kind of timid. Turns out she's incredibly powerful. She's rising to meet the bad guy. It's okay. The lead actor, and this is a dude named Ben Barnes, who's incredibly handsome. He's been in a lot of stuff. You'd definitely recognize him if you saw him. But it's just very much okay. It's pretty formulaic. Misses the mark on a couple things. But again, fairly entertaining. It's not a bad rainy day watch. Overall score is 4.5 carbohydrates out of 10. It's not a disaster, but it ain't great.
I am going to take your word for it.
Don't watch the show.
Just never watch it at all.
Never watch it. Don't even think about it.
I also have enough things right now that I'm backed up on that I'm either starting watching or still have in the queue that before I even got to a show that I'm not sure I want to watch, it's going to be a really, really long time.
Yeah, I'm saving you this one. Don't watch this show.
That was the only really good thing, honestly, in terms of my entertainment at home about the pandemic was I checked a lot of boxes.
Got a lot of content.
Sports stopped, which is what I watch every single night, and I never wish for that to happen again. I take them for granted, and all I want to do is watch sports. But without them, I read more, and I got more entertainment from streaming services and things I pay for than traditionally ever before. So I'll just tell you right now, it's It's going to be a while before I get to that one. You're probably right when you say run out of everything on Netflix.
Look, if you got to the end of Netflix and you're like, the last thing it is, Shadow and Bone, do something else with your time. You would hate this show more than anything on the planet.
It is time for my double play. Our double play is sponsored each and every day, as you guys know, made possible by our friends at Mattress Warehouse. Free next day delivery and setup available on all orders over $7.99 and a 1-year price guarantee. Learn more at sleephappens.com. I'm currently reading a book. When I'm done with it, I want to have the author on. Just a FYI, heads up on this.
Okay.
The author we've had on in the past is a buddy of mine named Kent Babb.
Oh, yeah.
Kent used to, well, still does, write at the Washington Post, but really localized here, used to cover the Washington football team and some of the D.C. teams, and now he basically writes these incredible stories he works on for weeks on end, and he goes and fills in all the blanks. And it's just an amazing journalism. Like, that's the dream gig, I think, if you're a great writer. You're not churning out stories every single week. You're not writing 10 stories a month or something. You don't know when that next story is going to be published, but you're working on it all the time. So he wrote a story that was published in the Post many years ago about a high school football coach in New Orleans. And the gist of this story was, this school is in an area in New Orleans where these kids just don't have much of a chance societally growing up as youth in New Orleans. And football is an outlet for them. And in a lot of ways, a saving grace. But this coach thinks of all these kids as his own and basically tries to do everything he can to get them out of the neighborhood that they're from and to better lives. College, whether it's through football or not. They use football as the mechanism to try to go succeed and thrive elsewhere, or even if it's in that area, doing something to make the most of their situation. And I remember reading that story about this school in New Orleans, and this coach's name was Bryce Brown, and just being blown away by it. He turned it into a book. And it turns out he followed them around for the entire football season in 2019. And I'm about halfway through the book right now. It's really well done. But you know what it comes down to is, it's that last chance you.
Yeah, it's that vibe.
QB1, like all those documentary things we like on Netflix, the behind the scenes access to sports, hard knocksy in a way, but in written form, but also the best of people trying to better themselves, which I'll buy in on that every single time.
Yeah, if you provide me that formula, I'll order that on the menu. Every time.
But this book has been amazing. If you want to check it out, it's called Across the River. And it's powerful, man.
He is such a fantastic writer, too.
Yeah, he's good. It's one of those things, though. It's emotional. It's touching. It's gripping. But you meet these characters, and you kind of feel the whole time. You're not sure who's going to make it and who isn't. And they're telling stories of these players from recent years who are no longer with us. And it's eye-opening, honestly. As someone who is lucky enough to have been born and raised, and I'm from King George County, which is not Washington, D.C. I tell people when they say, hey, where are you from? I always say D.C. because it's easier. But, an hour and a half away. But it's just hard to imagine sometimes what people are dealing with as they try to come up and as they try to experience life.
I read Not a Game by Kent Babb about Allen Iverson.
It's a good book.
A handful of years ago. And every story he writes to me is must read. But that book, I just was like, this guy is really good at this. And I was kind of annoyed about that at kind of how good he is. But I say that tongue in cheek. He's a fantastic writer. I'll check that one out.
Yeah. At some point we should get him on to chat about it. G&D on the Fan. We'll go blitzing next on Grant and Danny. 5 at 5. Today's going to be good. We got some great audio from around the NFL. We'll get into Justin Fields making his first start for the Chicago Bears. We got to try to get to the bottom of Taylor Heinicke as he starts more. Scott Turner was asked in a press conference yesterday whether or not teams are going to solve him. Like a baseball player in the batter's box, are you going to find those flaws? His answer, it was pretty fascinating. So you'll hear that on G&D as we continue today, right here on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.